I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Beautiful day to learn about liberty. A wonderful day to fight tyranny. Every day is a good day to fight tyranny, isn't it? John Philbert Curran said, "It is the common fate of the indolent to see their liberty stolen by the active." The condition upon which God grants liberty to man is eternal vigilance, and if that condition is broken, servitude is his punishment and the immediate indication of his guilt. The price of liberty is always eternal vigilance, and so every day should be a good day to fight tyranny, to defend liberty. But I want to pose for you today a very important question. It has to do with the inalienable nature of our rights. We had a CNN reporter, Chris Cuomo, quite recently tried to argue that our rights are not inherent, that they are provided by law. Our conservative outlets went crazy. They are not provided by law. They are inalienable rights. I will submit to you that whether they are provided by God or not is not the point that we need to harp on. The fact is that they are ours regardless. As a matter of faith, I believe that our rights are granted by God. I also believe that you cannot exclude natural rights, the argument about natural rights, from the establishment of our rights, because our rights exist because we breathe. Our framers called them the laws of nature and of nature's God. Samuel Adams wrote an essay called The Rights of Men in 1772. He said, among the natural rights of the colonists are these: first, life; secondly, liberty; third, property, together with the right to protect and defend them in the best means possible. And so, given that our rights we profess in our conservative circles are inalienable, I want to ask you a very important question. I want to pose a very important question to you. Since our rights are inalienable, do we have protection against the federal government violating our rights? Or do we have protection against all government violating our rights? Can any government violate our inalienable rights as long as it's not the central government? This is a very important question that we need to consider, because our local governments, our state governments, are becoming just as tyrannical and sometimes even more so tyrannical than the federal government. Are our rights inalienable, or are they simply rights that need be defended from the central government? Question this morning comes about what I call trickle-down tyranny, the fact that what our states and local governments have been seeing the federal government do is now something that they want to do. And I'm not quite sure which came first, the local tyranny or the federal tyranny, but I think the fact that we have been focused on federal for so long makes them look like the bad guys first, And now we have local following suit. We have states that are spying on their citizens. This is not just the NSA. This is your local police departments. Listen, the RT reports today that the Florida police used warrantless stingray surveillance over 1,800 times. They report law enforcement officials in Florida have used stingray surveillance to track cell phone locations on more than 1,800 occasions, according to the ACLU, and they did it without obtaining warrants. Is your right to be secure in your persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures, is that a right that is an inalienable right? Do you have an inalienable right to your property? Or is that just something that the federal government can't touch and the states can do whatever they want? You see, the discovery was made after the ACLU filed a public records request with over 30 law enforcement agencies in 2014 to find out how police were using surveillance tools to track down cell phone users. Stingray is a device that was created for the NSA, and it's part of that sort of movement now to pass down all of these federal toys to our local law enforcement in order to, you know, combat terrorism. But our local law enforcement agencies across the country are not using these for Al-Qaeda terrorists or Syrian terrorists or any terrorists. They're just using them to help them in investigations. Over 250 investigations over a seven-year period. Not one of the court filings contains a single mention or description of Stingray technology. Isn't that crazy? They are doing these things in secret without warrants. Now, is our protection of our property to be secured by warrants just something that we are supposed to be worried about the federal government? Or is it all government? James Madison wrote an essay in 1792 called Property, and he says, "Where an excess of power prevails, property of no sort is duly respected. No man is safe in his opinions, his persons, his faculties, or his possessions," where an excess of power prevails. Was James Madison just referring to federal power? Or was he referring to all power? I mean, I think it's very clear he's not talking about just federal power. Otherwise, he would have said, where an excess of power in central government prevails. This is a time-tested truth that whenever government of any source has an excess of power, property of no sort is duly respected. No man is safe in his opinions, his persons, his faculties, or his possessions. Why? Because when the government possesses an excess of power, and they can take your property, they will silence you. Why will you speak out against a government that can take your property arbitrarily because they possess an excess of power? You're going to think twice about complaining about your government if they can show up on your doorstep with an excess of power and steal your possessions. That's why your opinions are not secure when there's an excess of power in government, because an excess of power means there is no limitation and they can take and choose to take and choose not to take and arrest and detain and deny people their property. based on whatever. And so the question becomes, are our rights inalienable? Or is it just something that we worry about the central government taking? Madison continues in his paper and says, that is not a just government where an excess of power prevails, nor is property secure under it. Where the property which a man has in his personal safety and personal liberty is violated by arbitrary seizures of one class of citizens for the service of the rest. A magistrate issuing his warrants to a press gang would be in his proper functions in Turkey or Indistan under appellations proverbial of the most complete despotism. That is not a just government, where your property is not secure through due process, through the protections of the recognition of the rights of man. Remember, Samuel Adams wrote his paper called The Rights of Men in 1772. Among the natural rights of the colonists are these: first, life; secondly, liberty; third, property, together with the right to protect and defend them in the best means possible. Those are the rights of man, the natural rights of men, not rights that are gifted to you by government, not rights that are legislated to you by law, but rights that belong to you because you breathe. And if government cannot give you life, then the only thing they can do is take it. Government cannot give life, so government cannot give rights. All your rights emanate from the fact that you live. But government can't give life, it can only take it. Government can't give rights, it can only take it. And the question becomes, how do we understand this dilemma? That all government with an excess of power, all government that denies us our property, that all government that can seize our property, even in the name of safety, is an arbitrary seizure, denying people their rights, and equates to complete despotism.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
It occurs to me that we not only get distracted by federal politics, but we get distracted by federal limitation as well, and not realize that all government must be limited in its power, and that we create some kind of secondary standard for local government than we do federal government. Federal government is very clear, should not disarm their people. It is very clear in our arguments, and I'm talking about in conservative circles, that the federal government should not engage in warrantless searches. We're very clear that the federal government should not be tasing us for no reason, and shooting people for no reason, and seizing our property for no reason, without due process protection. But why is it that we give some kind of a pass for local government? We're busy, very, very busy, working very hard to make excuses for local government. I want to suggest to you that if we had we had federal agents doing what local agents are doing, our conservative circles would be in the streets with pitchforks and torches. If we had an attorney general in the U.S. government that behaved like the attorney general in the state of Florida, the conservatives would be absolutely up in arms, if not literally, over the Attorney General's denial of the people's rights and fights against the Second Amendment of the people and their right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures. But how is it that Pam Bondi of the state of Florida gets a pass in her continued and obvious fight against the inalienable rights of the people? We in Florida are watching Pam Bondi continually take up stances against the Second Amendment, against the Fourth Amendment. But are those amendments that grant us our right to bear arms? Are those amendments that grant us our right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures, that grant us a right to be secure in our property? Or are they simply recognition of the rights that are inalienable? Because if a government, any government, can exert a right over your property and can exert a right over your right to protect your property, any government can exert that right. Is that a violation of a natural right of the people? This is the conversation that we need to be having. We have entered into the realm of defending rights as inalienable. My goodness, it's all we are hearing about lately, the inalienable rights of the people. If they are inalienable, then why do we allow the states to deny them? By asserting that the Bill of Rights only applies to the federal government is like saying the Bill of Rights grants you these rights. It's the Bill of Rights. Because of the Bill of Rights, you have a right to keep and bear arms. That's the entire argument. Remember, we covered that earlier this week about the LA Times saying that the Second Amendment grants you the right to keep and bear arms, but it's not an absolute right. Well, the error in that whole statement is the understanding that the Second Amendment grants you the right to keep and bear arms. We should remember that even the colonists had a right to keep and bear arms. Justice Blackstone said of the colonists, to vindicate these rights when actually violated or attacked, the subjects of England are entitled first to the regular administration of free course of justice in the courts of law, next to the right of petitioning the king and parliament for a redress of grievances, and lastly, to the right of having and using arms for self-preservation and defense. If the Bill of Rights grants you the right to keep and bear arms, that means government grants you that right. And that means government can take it away. And then, are you safe? Some people wouldn't like that I was different. It never really mattered how hard it would be, 'cause she filled me with love and the strength to live. She said, let it burn, let it burn. I'm gonna burn something down if you get in our way.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
We're having a discussion today about inalienable rights. James Madison wrote an essay in 1792 called Rights, or called Property, rather. He says, where an excess of power prevails, property of no sort is duly respected, no man is safe in his opinions, his persons, his faculties, or his possessions. He says, this is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where the property which a man has in his personal safety, you have a property in your personal safety and personal liberty. Your safety and your liberty are a property And according to Samuel Adams, you have a natural right to protect that property, a natural right to protect your personal safety and your personal liberty. But where property which a man has in his personal safety and his personal liberty is violated by arbitrary seizures, a magistrate issuing his warrants to a press gang, a press gang is an government agency who has hired people to do its bidding outside the law. Mercenaries, armed people who are hired to do the bidding of government outside the limitations of law. A magistrate issuing his warrants to a press gang would be in his proper functions in Turkey or Indistan, under the appellations proverbial of the most complete despotism. James Madison is trying to explain to us that when the government agents can do their jobs outside the limitations of the law, in violation of the people's rights, right? So what if the law doesn't protect the people's rights? The matter here is the fact that we have a property in our safety and in our liberty. And when the government can assume arms and seize the property of our personal safety and our personal liberty, James Madison said, that belongs in places like Turkey and Indistan, not in America. That belongs in the classification of complete despotism. And yet, we make passes and we think it's okay for local government to do these things. Listen to what Madison says about property. This is, and I'm trying to challenge us today on our understanding of inalienable rights and the rights that belong to people by nature. Rights that are ours because we live, because we breathe, and not because government grants them to us. Madison says, this is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where arbitrary restrictions, exemptions, and monopolies deny to parts of its citizens that free use of their faculties and free choices of occupations, which not only constitute their property in general sense of the word, but are the means of acquiring property strictly so called. What must be the spirit of legislation, Madison says, where a manufacturer of a linen cloth is forbidden to bury his own child in a linen shroud, or in order to favor his neighbor whose manufactures woolen cloth, where the manufacturer and wearer of woolen cloth are again forbidden the economical use of buttons of that material in favor of the manufacturer of buttons of other materials. Do you see what Madison is saying? Government regulation of your private business is an unlawful, under the laws of nature, seizure of your property. When the government can dictate to you how you use the products of your own production, if the government can create a law that says you can't use this but you must use that, that is a tyrannical government. He says complete despotism. I love this one, Madison says. A just security to property is not afforded by that government under which unequal taxes oppress one species of property and reward another, where arbitrary taxes invade the domestic sanctuaries of the rich and excessive taxes grind the faces of the poor. Unequal taxes. That's our progressive tax system. That if your taxes are based on the value of your property, right? How much money you make is the value of your property, the value of your house. You can tax someone more because of the value is unequal. Whereas everybody who owns property should be taxed the same amount. Because what you happen to do then is through the application of unequal taxes, you oppress one class of people and reward the other. Well, if you don't have property that's as valuable as mine, you are rewarded in the tax system. And Madison says, if the United States mean to obtain or deserve the full praise due to wise and just governments, they will equally respect the rights of property and the property in rights. They will rival governments that most sacredly guard the former, and by repelling its example and violating the latter, will make themselves a pattern to that and all other governments. May I suggest to you that that works in its opposite form as well? That if the American government is an example of governments violating the rights of the people, they will make a pattern of themselves to other governments? This is why I call it trickle-down tyranny. Because you see, the federal government is doing these things, making a pattern, right? The NSA creates an exemption for the federal government creates an exemption for our inalienable right to be secure in our persons, houses, papers, and effects from unreasonable searches and seizures, not our Fourth Amendment right, our inalienable right. And therefore, then since they can come up with an exception called national security, then why shouldn't the local governments who have just as much concern over security have that exemption as well? And since the argument can be made that they have an even greater concern for security and safety, that they should have greater exemptions to our inalienable right to be secure in our property. What about our right to keep and bear arms? Do you truly believe that's an inalienable right? Or do you believe that's just a right that's created by the Second Amendment? A right that can be arbitrarily decided by local government. If you believe that it's a Second Amendment right, a right that's been established by the Second Amendment, then it's quite easy to argue that it's not an inalienable right, and therefore local governments can create legislation and regulations to remove that inalienable right. Life, liberty, property, the right to be secure in those, the right to defend those. Well, Chrisanne, you can't possibly be saying that the states can't regulate firearms when people are criminals. What I'm saying is that you can't take someone's rights without due process. Do you believe that the government established that we should have no life, no liberty, no property taken without due process of law? Or do you believe that your right to be secure in your life, your liberty, and your property, and to protect those things with the best means possible is an inalienable right? If you believe that life, liberty, and property cannot be taken by government without due process because the Fifth Amendment says so, then it's not an inalienable right. And if the government can take your life, your liberty, and your property without due process, then do you possess a right to it? Let me ask you a question. If the government can take your life without due process, then do you have a right to life? Or do you simply have a privilege to it? The government allows you to live because they can take it without any due process protection whatsoever. You don't have a right to life anymore. You have a privilege of it. Madison says that we not only have a right in our property, but we have a property in our rights. Our rights are property. That's why they are secured to us inalienably. That's why the government can't seize them without our greatest protection. That's why Blackstone says that you cannot have your rights attacked without having the right of due course of justice in the courts of law. You can't have your rights taken if you cannot petition the king and parliament for a redress of your grievances. And you cannot have your rights taken if you do not have the right to keep and bear arms to resist your rights being taken. These are your inalienable rights. And if you can't protect them, then they're not rights, they're privileges. So are they privileges? Are they rights that are ours, inalienably, to the central government, but merely privileges allowed to us by our state and local? If you violate the rights of someone else, if you murder someone, if you steal their property, then you have surrendered your right to that liberty as well. You cannot commit a crime and have your rights intact. But you see, if you are a law-abiding citizen, you have not surrendered your rights, and the government should not be taking them.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Are our rights inalienable, or are they privileges bestowed on us by government? Is your right to freedom of speech an inalienable right, or a right, a privilege bestowed upon you by government? Do you want the federal government to be limited in its power over your rights? Or do you want all government to be limited in its power over your rights? Because if government is not limited in its power over your rights, then your rights are not rights, they're privileges. If your local government can tell you that you cannot speak out because those words are offensive, do you have the right to freedom of speech? Or is it merely a privilege afforded to you by government? Let me challenge you a little bit deeper. If your local government can establish that this religion is the only religion that is recognized by this local government, that you cannot practice any religion other than this religion, do you have the right to live according to your own conscience? Or is that a privilege that has been afforded to you by the government? When government can afford you privileges, then they can take them away from you. And when they can take them away from you, they can take them away by simple request, or they can take them away by force. Because they're not rights, they're simply privileges to you by government. If the government can take away your right to keep and bear arms, not simply just say you can't possess them. How about you can only possess them here? Or you can only possess them there. But you cannot possess them here, and you cannot possess them there. Do you still have a right to keep and bear arms? if the government can dictate when, where, and how you possess them? Or do you simply possess a privilege afforded to you by government, by their permission? You have permission to carry your gun here, the government says, but you don't have permission to carry your gun here. Well, if it's a right to keep and bear arms, then the permission of the government is irrelevant, because we understand the right to keep and bear arms is a right to protect your property, your person, your liberty, even when the attacker is the government. So if our right to keep and bear arms is a personal right that hinges upon the traditional nature of keeping and bearing arms, which is the traditional nature of overturning tyrannical governments, how does it make any sense that a government can tell you when and where and how you possess them, when they are the reason you possess them? How convenient that a government can tell you when and where you can carry, because then they can deny you the privilege of carrying a firearm in places where they are most vulnerable and their tyranny is great. And then your right to keep and bear arms is not an inalienable one, but a privilege conferred upon you by the government. This is discussion that we need to be having. Are your rights inalienable? Are they privileges of government? Can federal government be the only governments that are tyrannical and oppressive? Or can your local governments be tyrannical and oppressive too? Do your rights exist inalienable to you individually? Or are your rights only afforded to you as citizens of the United States? If your rights are not personal and individual, then they are not rights and they are privileges. And I'm sorry you live in a tyrannical society. God bless. See you tomorrow. We came to life.